What's going on, Miguel Fuller and Holly O'Connor? Hey, guess what? Guess what? I was calling you so I could help you out with another episode of the podcast today. Can I do that real quick?
Well, you're on it right now, Jacob.
Yeah, let's go.
Yes, how's your week been?
It's been good. It's been good. Guess what?
What's that, Jacob?
So just so you know, Miguel, the reason why I listen to your podcast is because you're on it and Holly is on it, you know, but the reason why I listen to it is because Holly's on it, you know?
Oh.
So.
You said, Jacob, because Holly and because Holly.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, thank you, Jacob.
Do you have any big weekend plans, Jacob?
Well, my weekend plans are to listen to you. Well, my weekend plans are to listen to you on the podcast, Holly, all weekend, you know, because whenever I hear you guys on the podcast, it's like you're right there with me all the time, you know?
Oh, well, yeah. Absolutely. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it.
I mean, Jacob, do you care if I'm on the podcast or Scott's on the podcast?
Yeah, I'm on there, too.
You don't care about Scott, do you, Jacob?
That's
Yes. And by the way, Holly, guess what, Holly? You are the best rapper
What's
ever.
Up, Jacob?
You are the best rapper ever.
Oh, thank you.
Oh,
woo!
Yes.
And by the way, Scotty the Body sure did enjoy that sandwich the other day.
Kick me when I'm down, Jacob. Yeah, kick me when I'm down.
All right, Jacob, help us start the podcast. What are you listening to right now?
You're listening to the Holly Podcast without Miguel Fuller on Hot
101.5.
Oh, wow. Oh,
Jacob. That's right. I got him
again, Holly. Your life has changed.
We want to be there for you.
Miguel, Holly, and Scotty are unscripted, uncouth, and still very mature. Now, daily.
It's Miguel and Holly Uncensored, Corncast Edition from Hot 101.5.
Made hot by Corona Beer.
And speaking of Corona Beer, we're going to be doing a Cinco at Home with Miguel and Holly. This Tuesday for Cinco de Mayo.
Heck yes.
Drinking our Corona beers and seltzers.
That's right. It's going down at 4 p.m. on Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, so you'll be able to hook up with us on the Hot 101.5 Facebook page, and we'll be doing a live on there. So go ahead and put that on your calendar and be ready to go. Super excited for Cinco de Mayo. I was just thinking, I want to put this on my vision board for 2020. I feel like...
Yikes.
No, you can still put stuff down.
Yes, I know. Absolutely. Yeah. Always do.
I mean, it's probably... Yeah. It shouldn't include, like, for right now,
no.
like, joining up with a bunch of people to do anything. But you could put stuff.
Yeah, no, this isn't for that. For any sort of group gathering. But I feel like I want to figure out how to sell my mac and cheese. So the mac and cheese recipe that I put out every year... And then I've had, over the past couple of years, people be like, hey, can I pay you to make it?
Oh.
And then I think I charge like 20, 25 bucks for it. And I make it for them. And then all you got to do is you put it in the fridge and then you put it in the oven the day of Thanksgiving or whatever. And that's it.
You're going to have to start making it in smaller quantities, I feel like.
What do you mean? Like
instead of a 9 by 13 pan,
ooh.
Maybe like an 8 by 8, like a small square, because then it would be probably more cost effective for you.
Right.
And you could still charge the same thing because what? Are people not going to pay that?
True.
And so I just feel like it's easier to carry. It's easier to, all of it's easier if it's a little smaller than a giant 9 by 13 pan, unless they pay extra for that.
True. I mean, I don't know why, but today I've had two different people ask me for the recipe.
What?
And I'm like, wait.
And they're bored. They want to cook something.
I know. Seriously. I was like, wait, is there a holiday coming up that I'm missing? And people are like, I'm just sitting at home and I've always wanted to make your mac and cheese. So why not now?
Yeah.
And I was like, man. I wish there was a way for me to either do it, I don't know. Like, I'd love to have it, like, in the store where, like you know, like a Stouffer's mac and cheese where they freeze it and then you get to just put it in the oven or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never frozen my mac and cheese before, but obviously they do it. There's a way to do it. I want to figure that out some way, somehow, to be able to sell my mac and cheese as a way to pay off my student loans.
Oh. Yeah. You would have to go to like a small grocery store first, I think.
How do you even start that? Like, do you find a distributor? No, because to have a distributor, you got to have a product. But how do you make a product in mass quantity? Like, I can't do it in my kitchen.
I don't think you would do it mass quantity at first.
Yeah, at first, it'd be very slow, a couple orders.
Yeah, it's kind of like those people that do like a local wine, maybe. Mm. And like, you can, like, it'll only be available at, for example, what is that? Okay, so I'm thinking of on MLK in St. Pete, mm-hmm. by St. Pete Yoga. It's in the same building. Mm-hmm. That market. What is it called? I can't. It's like a Whole Foods type market, but it's like little.
Roll It Oats. Yes.
So some place like that, you would start small, mm-hmm. and be like, well, how, maybe with them, and this is just totally spitballing here. Mm-hmm. Maybe you'd be like, if I provided you with 5 of these, 8x8 pans in a week.
Right.
Just see how it goes.
Wow.
And then maybe it doesn't go and you're like, okay, well, we'll try it again for another 5 or whatever. Yeah. And then maybe it's like a big hit and there's like back orders or something.
Mm.
I feel like you'd have to go small, locally owned, like a Rollin' Oats first.
Mm.
Then the next step would be asking the questions on how do you make it bigger.
Right. So, I mean, do I just like make it in my kitchen and just,
I
drive over 5 pans to Rollin' Oats and I'm like, hey,
yeah,
put this in your freezer.
Yes.
Ooh, I need like packaging. Like, what would it be called? Like,
that's,
Miguel's mac and cheese?
Yes, pretty much.
Ah! It's like a cartoon of my face. Like,
It could be.
A cartoon of your face.
What you want to have marketed?
What's wrong with a cartoon of my face, Scott?
Nothing.
Why are you against that?
I have a really, really good caricature artist as a friend.
Mm.
We went to college together, and he's a really good caricature artist.
That'd be good. Yeah, that of you holding the mac and cheese, that'd be,
Oh, my gosh, with, like, a fun saying on the apron, like the catch line for the mac and cheese, like the tagline. Where it's like, this is not it because it's to some other brand, but like, good.
Yeah.
Where it's like my cartoon with the mac and cheese pan, and at the bottom it's like, good.
Yeah, but what's your mac and cheese slogan?
Ain't nothing better.
Ain't nothing better. No.
I'm just saying that.
So I think what I need to do is every time I eat food, I feel like I always do like a little dance when I'm excited. So I got to like hear, like, be cognizant of what I say when I eat good food.
Yeah.
And like, I'm sure there's a phrase that I say or something like
something
that.
Something about it being sexual.
No.
Something about your titties or something.
Oh, wow.
You say that. You say stuff like that.
But you can't put that on a Mac.
You could.
No, you cannot.
It'll be special.
What if
I bet you'll go viral, then it'll sell more.
Wait. Miguel's mac and cheese, so good, you'll slap your mama's titties.
I was going to say titty rubbing good. Slap your mama's. What?
So good, you'll squeeze your titties.
Oh my God, no.
Wow, squeezing titty good.
Okay, wait, wow. can we get off of titties for a minute?
Yeah, okay.
So, this is a good slogan.
At any point, have you ever called it mac and crack?
Oh, wow, mac and crack, I've never called it that.
It's like crack.
Yeah, mac and crack, it's so good, you get off your crack. I don't know.
No, don't do that.
So good, you'll squeeze your titties.
Titty rubbing good.
Titty rubbing, I like that.
Okay, I'm pretty sure any place, like, can you imagine that at Publix? Like, you have, like...
You wouldn't even get in the door. Are you kidding? Mr. Publix would be like, no, thank you.
Bye, bitch. Okay, I got to think about this business plan and how this would actually work. Okay.
Put it on. Put it on the board. Start coming up with a plan.
It's tasty.
Yeah, that's a good one. Ooh, it's delicious.
Ooh, it good.
Nope.
It good?
It good.
They're not going to know that's how you say it. They'll be like, Miguel's mac and cheese?
It good?
Does he know?
Miguel's mac and cheese.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Well, thank you for divulging.
So much cheese, you get bound up. That's what it should be.
Got a leaky booty? Eat my mac and cheese and plug you right on up.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Yours are always the worst. Slap your mama's titties? I just want to remind you that you said that.
Oh,
put that
dear.
On the wall.
No, please don't. It's going to come back to haunt me at one day. I'm going to, like, run for office.
No, you're not. You are not allowed to run for office anymore.
No, they're going to have a campaign where it's going to be like, do you really want this man as your future governor? So good! Yo, slap your mama's titties!
I endorse this message.
paid for by the funds for Don't Ever Let Miguel Get to Elected Office.
Okay. That just reminded me of when Keith and Thompson did a new What's Up With That for Saturday Night Live at Home. He was like, what's up with that? That's like an episode of What's Up With That. Damn, that's good.
There we go. That's a good slogan.
Yeah.
So now getting off of my mac and cheese and so good at slapping mama titties. So today, because if you're listening to this, we're recording it on April 30th. It was announced yesterday that the governor is partially reopening back up the first phase of Florida. Mm-hmm. So you'll be able to go to a restaurant and eat outside and inside, but with a 25% capacity. Mm-hmm. You'll obviously still be able to get carry out. Schools are still going to be
closed.
Distance learning closed. So we had a conversation earlier about, would you feel comfortable going out and eating? And then we had a guy who called in, Arden, who is running for office.
He is.
He talked to us off the air because we didn't have a lot of time to put him on the air.
But he was articulate.
I wonder, did I save any of that phone call?
You should.
I wish you did. That was good. I
thought you did.
Hold on. Let me see here.
I think this is part of it. You can hear. Actually, here, we'll just play part of this conversation with Arden here. It's rough.
Yeah, definitely.
Why is that? All right, so I think this is me. So what happens behind the scenes? When you call into the show, we pick up, Scott answers it, and then he goes, hey, Arden wants to talk. And then we record you off the air, and then we edit it to play it back on the air because we don't have all the time in the world because mm-hmm. we want to play Tampa Bay's new hit music or your throwbacks. So we have
that
to juggle.
That was some shade right,
right?
there.
So we got to juggle it. And so this is part of the conversation with Arden that I thought was interesting. It didn't get the whole thing because I had to stop recording because we had to go back on the air, but here's part of it.
Well, I just feel like I'm a business owner. I own a sign company, and I've helped a lot of these businesses start up in the last few years. A lot of them spent a lot of money, you know, just opening up their stores or restaurants, what have you, and getting their signage from me. I feel like I need to give back. I've been doing gift cards from places. I've been getting takeout pretty regularly from places that are still open. But I know a lot of shops are on the verge of going out of business. They put their life savings into things, and they, you know, they can't pay for everything. And this little stimulus money that we're getting from the government isn't helping anybody. So
are you nervous?
I need to keep these businesses going.
Now, the other argument to that is if they get sick and they pass – well, there's no business to run. Does that make you worried at all?
You know, I think as long as we do our social distancing to an extent, you know, stay with your families when you go out, you know, whoever you're living with and such. If you're, you know, if you're working with people and you stick in that group, you know, keep your routine of keeping your hands clean and those kind of things. Don't touch your face. You know, just be more conscious of things. I think we're going to be okay. I mean, Sweden, you know, is an example where they didn't shut anything down. A lot of people have died, but it's mostly the people that have underlying health issues and the elderly. And, you know, I've got a mom, I love her to death. I hope, you know, so far everything's been great, and I hope she continues to survive this thing and there's not a problem for her or any other person's parents. But in honesty, you know, if I'm 80, 90 years old, and I've lived a good life, and this isn't the way I want to go, don't get me wrong, but, you know, it's nature. I mean, everybody gets old and everybody passes at some point. I think this is Mother Nature just doing a cleanse of the population a little bit, taking out the elderly and the weak. I hate to say it that way, but that just seems like the way it is.
That's an extreme point of view.
It is.
It is. I know. It is. I agree. A little bit, but you know, Sweden has a lot of deaths, but their economy has stayed open and businesses have stayed open. And you know, the outfall, I just feel like if we continue to go down the road we're going and keeping businesses shut down and closing up the mom and pop businesses that are the ground foundation of America. I mean, that is our foundation. It's built on small business. We keep that shut down and these businesses go out of business. All the jobs, all the money that's transitioned from one business to the next business, all the way back to the suppliers, it's going to be a catastrophic failure on our economy. We can't just keep printing money to say, oh, yeah, we're going to send out some more money to save these businesses. It's just not financially possible.
So, I mean, if I had to make it an extreme question, would you say that you value the money over life?
Oh, absolutely not. No, I mean, you can't put a price on the value of human life.
Or
at the same,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, because I'm as you're talking, it's like I literally see both sides.
Yeah.
And I get paid to have an opinion, and I'm literally torn because, I mean, you put it in a very blunt way, but I feel like right. It's also our job as a society to look out for those that need help. And so it makes me nervous to just throw those people to the wolves and just say, well, that's how nature intended it. Well, nature intended a lot of things, but it's our society, it's our part as a higher thinking society to find ways to take care of those that need help. And we've evolved, I would hope, in a way that we can find ways to protect those people.
Right.
But
well,
we've
evolved significantly in the fact that people are living much longer than they used to. If you think back.
And so then I had to cut him off because when we had to go back on the air.
Oh, yeah.
But
we were
like,
oh, this is fascinating.
I was like, oh, we got to go talk on the radio to lots of people. So I thought that was an interesting take, and we went a little further. I wanted to try to get another sort of conservative person. Well, he didn't say if he was conservative or
actually, I don't liberal. Know, because don't know. He eventually ended up giving us the website. What is he running for? Congress?
Yeah, that's I what believe. He said, yeah.
Okay. So I looked at the website, and honestly, just on a cursory glance, I wouldn't necessarily say conservative leaning.
Right.
I don't know exactly what, but he's for an awful lot of pretty interesting things.
Maybe libertarian?
Maybe.
Live and let live?
I don't know.
I wanted to get John Sinning on the phone.
Good old John Sinning. Get him back.
Yeah, from 102.5 The Bone, our sister station, and see if he had some perspective on this. John Sinning is one of those people where you text him and then he won't text back for like 3 hours.
Yes.
At the tone, please. Oh, no.
Dang it.
Oh, dear.
Dang it. Well, because I heard on the show with him and Drew, they at the beginning of the week, before this was even announced, they were saying that they are ready to get back to work or for things to open up. Like they have moved past the we got to stay home, we got to take care of ourselves, to people are starving. They don't have money. They want to get back to work. And if you are sick and you can't do it, then stay home. But for the people that want to do it, do it. And I hope I'm not misrepresenting what they felt, because that was at the beginning of the week. And so I don't know if their opinion has evolved.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like with most on-air people, our opinions and our feelings about this,
yes,
like everybody else, it's a rolling, it's a changing thing.
And that's what makes it difficult, because one day you come on with a very strong opinion or a point to share.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple days goes by, you have now consumed more information. Maybe you've spoken to more people, you've read more articles, some new researchers come out.
Right.
And you have a totally different opinion like 3 days later. And so then that's where people start to be like, well, I don't even know what. Okay, well, like everyone should be doing this. Continually taking in information and then changing your opinion if it fits better.
Will you do anything differently starting next week, Holly?
I really don't think so. I don't feel like what I've been doing is super strict in the first place, because I have a friend, my friend Erin, that I like reference all the time, but she's been like in lockdown mode. So she'll go to Whole Foods, but just to pick it up. Like, you know, they put it in the car for you and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, she just put her toe in the water of ordering Uber Eats from her favorite restaurant in Oldsmar that opened back up. So, like, that, in my opinion, like, she's been doing the most. So, for me, I'm also still staying at home, but I'm also physically going to Publix or CVS. In my, I'm already a little lenient, I feel like. Cause, I mean, we still come into the building for work.
Yeah.
So for me, not much has to change. We're good the way it's been going. Like, it's not been too crazy on us. So we'll stay the course for now.
Was there any point in the past, like, 6 weeks that you wanted to change sort of, not that you've been loose, but not as tight with it? Is there any time that you wanted to change that?
That you mean any time I wanted to become tighter?
Yeah, like more, like to order your food or your groceries and pick it up. Or,
yeah.
Because this is the point, and I've been trying to figure out how to phrase this, where you want to be careful, but you still want to, like, do stuff, and you sort of risk it, mm-hmm. knowing that something might happen. But, like, what's that line of, because you want to be smart about it. I don't know.
Yeah, I am. There have been a few times of heightened emotions when it comes to fear.
Yeah.
That's what I'll say. So I would say I had a big wave of it on March 13th when I realized that the schools were closing and that, you know, this virus is here. It's legit and we need to take this seriously. I don't think I've ever, like, disinfected my house before like I did that day. So that was when I went a little extra.
Right.
And, like, everything was, like, super careful. But as I've gotten used to that, like, now it's almost second nature to be like, okay, I'm going to Publix. I double mask it. So I put my two masks on. I have extra hand sanitizer in the car. I have the, like, wet wipes that I wipe down my steering wheel with. So I've included new things, excuse me, that I think make it a little safer. I feel safer. But I would say probably there were two times when I was like, oh, shit.
Mm.
Like, I'm nervous.
No.
I'm nervous because the temperature of the country was that way.
Mm.
I don't know exactly dates on those.
Right.
But I was like, maybe we do need to work from home.
Yeah.
Or that was one of them. Or I went to a different Publix about a month or so ago. And, like, it looked apocalyptic in there.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know if I want to go to Publix anymore. But then it's like, once that sort of passes,
mm-hmm.
you're like, I mean, what am I going to, I have to go to Publix.
Yeah.
So because, and I couldn't, like, the way that the wait time had been piling up on Instacart, I couldn't wait another week to get groceries.
That makes sense. Scott, how have you been doing with this, and what do you plan on doing next week when things open up?
I think, like, there's really not much. I was only going out before a lot because it was for work. And I really don't go out a lot because it costs money and I don't have a lot of money as is. And now I have less money because I don't have events. So I can't see myself, like, being one of the people that are like, oh, let me go to restaurants. I do think that there might be, like, one restaurant that I go to, which, like, I said it on the show today. It's like, I go get pho. Like, that's, yes. like, we have weird ways of just finding our inner peace. When I go alone and I sit at a table and I just get a big old bowl of pho,
yes.
put it in headphones, and, like, honestly, as I think about it, like, that's my zen. And I, like, sometimes did that, like, twice a week.
Because it's so good, though.
It's
and
fantastic.
I will tell you this, it's to pile on to the pho thing, is that I've gotten that place's pho. We're just going to put it out because it's delicious.
Oh, yeah.
It's called Tasty Pho in Pinellas mm-hmm. Park. I ordered it once, like, through either I had someone pick it up for me or I whatever. It's great. But it's not the same at your house.
No, it's not. And that's the biggest thing. It's just not. Like,
that
there's
fresh bowl
special.
Of soup, and it comes. Oh, it's like steaming hot.
Mm.
It's an experience.
Yeah, like, and that's what I say. Like, if I do go to a restaurant, like, I'll probably go there if that's the first one. I don't know if I'll do it next week, but I have been seriously craving it. I think if anything, I'd probably go to the beach because my girlfriend's in town. She wants to go to the beach because now she lives in Virginia when she's not in quarantine, and so she's probably craving to go do that. Which is kind of like back and forth, but it just feels weird right now because, like, we are opening up, but cases and deaths are still happening. So I don't really know how to go about it because I don't feel it's like the weird emotion because my brain's like, oh, thank goodness, everything's all good. And then you're like, whoa, hold up. It's not.
Right.
It's not. And it we're going to see a jump of cases because obviously people are just going to be out and about more than they were before. So I probably will dabble in maybe Tasty Pho, but that's it. I will order from other restaurants still, but I haven't really been, like, crazy on going out anyway.
I feel like if you are careful about it, if you think about your steps before you do it. So if you are going to the beach, I think about, all right, what am I touching?
Yes.
Where are my feet going? If I'm parking at one of the public access places, I have to pay for parking, so I'm going to take wipes with me so I can punch the numbers
or,
in.
Or, you know, if you have disposable gloves, that's a good place
that's
to utilize
time.
Those.
Because right.
they're like a one-use only in case
Boom.
We're still unaware of how gloves work.
And you do that, and then you walk to the beach. You walk onto the sand. You put your towel down. You're sitting there. You make sure that nobody's getting close to you. Because remember, it's all about droplets. And this is the thing that I keep reminding friends or anyone that's like super nervous is I'm like, to me, when I think about it logically and logistically of what happens, and this is where you have to do a little reading, they like the droplets of how you can get sick don't just travel through the air.
Right.
Like these are wet droplets.
It's not
that
an
have,
airborne disease.
Right.
It is actually human to human.
Yes.
In the form of spit or other bodily fluid.
And so when you talk and you have droplets that come out of your mouth, and let's say you're talking to someone, like if I spit and I laugh and Holly, you don't even see it, but it's a little spit bubble and it comes and it lands on you, then you touch your face and it goes in through your eyes, your ears, and your nose. So if I can keep myself sanitary without touching all of that, then I feel like I'll go about it and do it. But I feel like, and I'm going to have to talk to my boyfriend about this because I know that he's just like, he's ready. He's ready to do something and to go and do stuff. And I'm like, can you just give me 2 weekends? I feel like I just want to wait 2 weekends first in May and just see how it goes.
Yeah.
And then I feel like from there we'll know because now they're offering lots of more free testing in like Hillsborough County. And so once people are able to go get tested and see if they have COVID-19, then I'll feel more comfortable because then we'll know the true numbers.
Correct.
And so I'm just, that's how I'm going about it, is thinking about it in a very logical, scientific, because I've never thought in a scientific way in my life, but try to think about it in that way so I'm not living my life in fear, but by facts.
Yeah.
So that's sort of where I am with it. I do. He's finally able to talk now. Not John Sinning, because John Sinning's not answering my phone call or my text. Maybe we'll talk to him tomorrow. But I did want to talk to roommate Dylan.
I'm excited to hear about this. I'll be honest with you. I need the scoop. I need the scoop.
The scoop.
So if you're new to the Miguel and Holly fam, at Chateau Oprah, my townhouse, I live there with my boyfriend, Scott, and roommate Dylan.
Hello.
Hello, roommate Dylan. How are you?
Oh, well, hello, Miguel. I'm doing good. How
well,
you doing?
Wonderful. Do you have a minute to chat with us about this adventure you've taken on?
Yes, I do.
I'm excited.
All right. So I've described it as you've signed up for a virtual version of Big Brother and Survivor that takes place in Zoom with other people from across the country. Is that a good way to describe it?
Yes. It's a little bit of that, and also the show The Circle, if anyone's heard of it, it's on Netflix. It just came out because a lot of it is just virtual communication.
Okay, so let's start from the top here. How did you find out about
yes,
this?
Yes, where did it come from?
Craigslist ad?
Oh, my God.
No. Well, so I guess I'm a part of a community of people who are obsessed with these types of reality shows. And a good friend of mine had other friends who were starting this, and they wanted to get a bunch of strangers involved to keep the game real, because you're not supposed to know anyone. So I only know one person out of the 16 people participating, and my friend invited me to it. I said yes. All of a sudden, I'm video chatting with 16 strangers. We're split up into two different tribes, and they said go.
What in the hell? Dylan, like, you realize that's crazy sounding. I mean, that's insane. Okay, wait. Okay, is there a moderator? Like, who's running this thing?
So, yeah, so there's a guy. His name is Joel, but he likes to be called Q Daddy, and he's the moderator.
Oh. Wow. Okay. Okay.
So it's you and it's 16 other people.
And Q Daddy.
And Q Daddy.
And Q Daddy. Mm-hmm.
And you're sitting in a Zoom conference room with all these people. So when you log on, and when do you log on? What happens from there? Are y'all just talking about life? Are you doing challenges?
Well, we're talking about life. We're trying to make personal connections with each other by relating. And then we actually had to do a challenge on the first day once we were split up into tribes.
What's the challenge? So it was, can you say?
Oh, yeah. So we had to take 10 pictures or videos of household items or of us doing things as a team. And then we had to unscramble a word. So, for example, one of the things I had to do was crack an egg with my bare hands.
Oh.
So, sorry, Miguel, if there were remnants of an egg in the sink.
That oh, was those are Scott's eggs, by the way,
what
not mine.
What the hell? Ooh,
sorry,
that's my breakfast.
Not now. It's part of a challenge, bitch.
Mm-hmm.
I owe you an egg.
Yeah, you do. I'll take 12.
Wow. And so you submit those, and then what happens?
We submitted them, and then we had to unscramble a word once we completed that challenge. And the other tribe was doing the same thing at the same time. And we finished the challenges first, but we could not unscramble the word. Mm. So we ended up losing the first challenge.
Mm. Oh, damn. And so if we're going based on Survivor or Big Brother, then the team that loses the first challenge usually has to vote someone out of their team. Did y'all follow that sort of game show protocol?
We did. We had a tribal council yesterday for about an hour where Q Daddy was asking us questions about other people. And we had all been like FaceTiming each other prior to tribal council, creating all different types of group chats. And we voted someone out yesterday.
Wow.
Holly, your eyes are so big right now.
I'm just really floored by all this. Wait a second. So, like, okay, you were doing the scavenger hunt and the unscrambling of the word in, like, real time. So it was, like, a quickness competition?
Yeah. He said, hey, 3, 2, 1, I'm going to send you the 10 tasks. And then it's just go time.
Okay. And Do you know in advance when you need to carve out time? Because in my head, I'm like, okay, what if they decide 3, 2, 1, go at like 6 p.m. and I can't do it at 6 p.m.? Like, how do all of you know exactly when you're going to be needed?
Yeah, so Q Daddy asked us for our availability previously. I know today someone couldn't do it, so we have off today. And then tomorrow at 5 p.m., we're starting challenge number 2.
Oh, my gosh. Now, you all had to vote someone out. Did you all do that yesterday?
We did it yesterday. We voted someone out.
Who did you vote out, and how did you all decide? And remembering that you all don't know each other.
Well, luckily, there was a, maybe unlucky for them, there's a couple, like a real-life couple on our team, and they were trying to hide it at first, trying to video chat from different rooms, and one person on the team was like, oh, let's follow each other on social media. We can get to know each other. And so we quickly figured out that they were a couple. And once we figured that out, they were too much of a threat. So we as a team decided that we would vote one of the two people in the couple out because they have power in numbers. And I was just trying to save my butt. So I said, sure, let's vote them out. So we voted poor Sarah out first.
Oh,
Sarah!
Why? This is bananas!
This is amazing!
Wow, I am floored. I don't even know. You know what? We don't get a lot of new fun info lately, so this is just really fascinating to me.
Amazing. So, is there a prize involved when you get down to the winner? How does that work?
I think the prize is just boosting your ego. We haven't really talked about a prize.
Wow. Because I feel like everybody should have put in like $20.
Yeah. At least something into the pot.
Right. So you all play down in your group and then you get down to the last person. Is there a point then when the last person in your group and the last or tribe and the last person in the other tribe and then those two people face off and then that's the victor?
Oh, yeah. So there's like a 6-page rule book on this. And so at 11, when we are down to 11 people, we merge the tribes. And then it's an individual game from there. And then those 11 people are then the jury. And so once we get down to 2 people, those other 9 people out of those 11 will then vote who they feel should be the winner of our quarantine game.
This is fascinating.
Who is spending the time and energy to like create this? I'm like, there's got to be money involved somewhere. Like, what person puts together a 6-page rule thing for shits and giggles?
Q Daddy, Holly. Q Daddy.
I guess Q Daddy
did it all.
Did Q Daddy actually like put this together?
Yeah, Q Daddy pretty much started from scratch and created this rule book based on a lot of different rules from these shows and just put it all together. And I've already suggested to him, I think this is a great business idea. And for anyone else sitting at home, I would highly recommend doing this because this has been the highlight of my month.
Like, this has been the first time I've seen you smile in the past 2 months.
How long have you been doing it so far?
We started on, what's today, Wednesday? We started on Monday, so it's been 2 days.
Oh!
Wow.
And there's already people gone. Thursday. Like,
holy crap.
Bye, Sarah.
Damn.
So I feel like we're going to have to check in with you like once a week to figure out how it's going and to see if you've been eliminated or not. Because now I'm invested. Like, poor Sarah got her ass kicked.
Yeah.
Because she was just trying to use good strategy, but y'all figured it out. Mm. Okay, one last question. So what's your strategy? Because you're a big reality show person.
Mm-hmm.
So are you trying to be the nice one that makes friends with everyone?
Are you a floater?
Are you the confrontational one?
So my strategy going in is, I really hope they're not listening to this, but I'm trying my best to relate to them. So like one person said they wanted to be an actor one day and I was like, wow, oh my God, me too. I've always wanted to be an actor. So I'm trying my best to relate to everyone so that they want to keep me in the game.
Julie Chen from Big Brother would be so proud of you right
but
now.
But first.
But first. Oh God, I love it. So are they like, so you all are recording these sessions on Zoom. Is Q Daddy like putting them on YouTube or anything for other people to watch, or is it just for you all, you like your own enjoyment?
I'm not sure. I think he's recording it, and separately, he has suggested that we take diary room session videos, and he might put it all together at the end. But we haven't really talked too much in depth about that.
Like, what if Q Daddy is a like reality TV show producer? And, like, this is his way of recruiting people for when we're out of the pandemic. Because for him to just throw, I mean, granted, it's been 6 weeks that we've been in quarantine. So there's enough time to do it if you're working from home and you've got nothing else to do. But, like, what if he's a reality show producer and, like, this is, what if he works for Netflix and this is, like, the next thing? And, like, you all don't know that you're a part of this big experiment.
That would be great. I mean, you better watch out. I'll be a star soon.
Yeah. Heck yes.
I love it. Well, this is awesome, Dylan. Well, I'm so glad you found something to sink your teeth into.
Yeah.
Because last night when I was geeking out over my new planner and journal, and you were like, I got to go upstairs. I got to get ready. You had your bowl of mac and cheese and your laptop. And you were like, we have a meeting, a council meeting. So I got to go up to my room. And I was like, get it, girl.
Wow.
I'm so excited for you. Well, we'll check in with you next week on the podcast to see how you're doing and make sure you didn't get voted out.
Let's hope I don't get voted out. I'll be happy to tell you guys how it goes.
All right. Now all you need is like a fun, sassy line. Something that will make you memorable. So you need to think about that. Like, what's going to be your catchphrase on this show? So you need to think about that.
I'll think about that. I'll come up with a tagline and I'll get back to you.
Okay, perfect. Awesome. Thank you, Dylan.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
You should give him the same tagline you have for your mac and cheese.
So good, you slap your mama's titties. I don't think Dylan would be comfortable saying that.
Not ever slapping anyone's titties. Just FYI.
Gotta do it for stars.
I love it. I'm so excited for him. Like, this is amazing.
I just feel like there's more to that, right? It can't just be a one-off fun quarantine Zoom project, right? There's got to be more.
I mean, maybe this man is planning on building this into like a virtual, not produced by NBC, ABC, where he's going to put it online. Because that's why I'm like, if you're doing it in Zoom, you have to be recording this to then put it somewhere so you can make some money off of it at some point. But then also, people are just bored.
Yeah, people are just bored, a.k.a. roommate Dylan.
Right. Yeah. I mean, think about it. Dylan works from home. He loves reality show. That's all he watches.
Yeah.
So he's ready to be invested. And then this guy, I bet you this guy is like an ex-TV producer or something to where he knows the ins and outs.
Yeah, maybe.
To be able to organize it.
Man.
That's so interesting. Holly, what's your social media, Gert? I'm done talking.
Okay. It's Radio Holly on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. And it's Holly on Hot 101.5 on Facebook.
At Scott Tavlin, ScottTavlin on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter.
Catch up on previous episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored now on the Hot 101.5 app or on iTunes on your smartphone.
It's Miguel and Holly Uncensored, quarantine edition from Hot 101.5, made hot by Corona Beer.
So once again, like the show, my fat ass finger hit the button and we're done. So bye.
Bye.